I'm quite embarrassed by this. The man we're about to interview, Spud, he's only 2 years my senior. But I look at his resume and it is decorated. I'm thinking to myself, what have I done in my life? Bugger all. This bloke joins us now. His name is Brendan Cowell. G'day, Brendan.
G'day, mate. How are you going, Joel? Yeah.
Mate, what a career. What a career. I mean, where do we start? What's your greatest achievement, Brendan, would you say, in your time acting, in your comedic work, writing stories? I mean, what would you say stands at the top of all of that?
Oh, look, yeah, the last few years have been great. I kind of took a big risk and moved over to London about 4 years ago, you know, with just a suitcase and a speaker, just go and throw it to the wind, see what happened. And, you know, ended up on stage there and then off Broadway and then Game of Thrones and then Avatar recently. But I'd say the biggest thrill would be somewhere between the Sharks winning the 2016 Grand Final and training at Spud Carroll's gym.
Oh, yeah.
Would probably be a highlight, wouldn't it?
I'm glad you said that.
No, it's been... Yeah.
No, I'm very lucky. I have known Brendan for many, many years. Also, you know, talk about acting. You know, you talk about Russell Crowe. I've got also Wayne Blair's another one that comes through the gym, but Brendan and these two guys, it's phenomenal to watch live. But I'm interested for you to explain the novel you've also got coming out, mate. You're the most busiest man in the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was over there in London last year, you know, pretty excited, February, March. Don't know if you guys have read The Herald or The Guardian, but this whole pandemic thing's happening. That got kind of out of control. So I was locked down for 4 or 5 months last year. And I had this idea about, you know, about a guy kind of about Spud's age, actually, who was, you know, kind of a Gavin Miller type rugby league player who, you know, later on in life finds himself with a few kind of confusing moments in his head, and I think because of the concussion, sees that life could go one way, and then he kind of decides to go another way and develops a passion for poetry, and starts to kind of relate to his kids and his relationships in a different way. So it kind of combines my two greatest passions, which is the written word and rugby league, in one book. It's called Plum. And it's out in October. But it's kind of about, you know, mental health and men and sport and booze and chicks and all the stuff kind of smashed into one book.
When you were young bloke, Brendo, you know, you love the Sharks. I know you wear those bloody shorts. I want to rip them off all the time. And not in that way, but mate, you've got to get yourself another pair of shorts. But mate, who was your idol as you're coming through? When I was a young bloke, I was from Greystands out in the west of Sydney. My favourite was Ray Price. Who was your favourite?
Oh, yeah. I used to love watching Ray Price stand on an angle in front of the post. That was unbelievable because that was kind of, you know, I played for De La Salle Carrinbar under sixes when I was four, you know, and Shark Park was like the mecca, you know, growing up in Sutherland Shire. And Adam Dykes, Adam Ritson, those kind of guys played. You know, I was firmly placed in the B's. They'd be in the A's. I was never in the C's. But I was very much a secure, not even a bench spot. I was in the starting team for the B's pretty much every week. You guarantee that. But, mate, I used to go to the games, and I was very, very obsessed with Michael. I was a 5'8", so I loved Michael Speechley. I don't know if you remember Michael Speechley. They called him the lawnmower. He used to tackle blokes around the legs, put a guy through a gap. And I got to see the great Gavin Miller and Steve Rogers play when I was really young. And I think Gavin Miller was kind of one of the first to be that, you know, hit and spin ball playing forward, you know, the body of a front rower, but the hands of a halfback. And so, I got to watch these guys live when I was 6 and 10 years old. But then, of course, talking about wanting to whip off the Shark shorts, Andrew Ettinghausen came through when I was in the teenage years. And he was as fast as he was foxy, really, wasn't he? I mean, you played a bit with him, Spud. What a player.
Yeah, well, there was always a bit of a side earner if you could get him. And I actually got him pretty high once and tried to split him. You got to make some sort of mark.
Double dipper.
Believe it now, mate. He's a good-looking bloke.
Yeah.
He is.
Hey, Brendan, like, run us through the mindset that happens when you're auditioning for a show like Game of Thrones, and they've already had a number of series. It's already a massive hit. You're auditioning for a role called Harag, and you're told you've got the gig. I mean, what goes through your head when you land something like that?
Oh, look, it's incredibly surreal, and you kind of can't help but laugh because you look at Game of Thrones and you're thinking, this show's bigger than the Bible, yeah. You know? And I'm just this guy from Cronulla. Yeah. Like, how does these two things come together? But at the same time, you think, well, some other hairy bastard's just going to do it. I might as well have a crack, you know? And that's kind of been my attitude, really. And I was in a play called Yerma with Billy Piper in London, and that just took the city by storm. So everybody came to see the show, and it was like the greatest show reel. That was within 4 months of me being in London. Everyone came to this show. So I didn't get jobs offered to me, but I got in rooms. You know, I got to audition for really big jobs straight away. And so I kind of got fast-tracked to, you know, there's three or four guys they're looking for, but, you know, you still got to win it. And I just went in, backed myself, you know, and over in London, they don't have a lot of kind of masculine, hairy blokes who can string a sentence together, you know what I mean? Their idea of masculinity is Benedict Cumberbatch and Jude Law kind of go, oh, I'm sorry, I spilt something on you, you know what I mean? So I thought there was a cap in the market, and I just went for it, but absolutely surreal. And then, you know, and it was the year that we won the Sharks won the Premiership, I'll just remind you. Sharks won the Premiership and I got Game of Thrones, and I thought, well, this ain't too bad, is it? What a year.
Well, I tell you what, might be a year 2022 then, I understand, because the highest grossing films of all time, Avengers, the top two are Avengers and Avatar. What's happening in Avatar 2, Brendan? Can you share that with us?
We're going to avenge Avengers.
Yeah.
I think that's the plot line. But no, another thrill which came off me playing Galileo on the West End, the scientist, is that I got an audition in LA. It was kind of a two to three day audition with James Cameron for Avatar. And, you know, I didn't hear about it for a year after the audition. Wow. And I got a call in the middle of the night from the agent, 1 a.m, you're going to New Zealand. And I thought, geez, I've gone all the way to London to become successful. I've done it to such a degree, I've got to go to New Zealand. But yeah, I've spent the last 2 years back and forth, Wellington, London, Sydney, and working with that bloke, you know, he's on another level. It's just been an honour. And I spotted 20 minutes of it towards the end of shooting last year. And, you know, the world is in for a treat. When all the cinemas are reopened, Avatar's the movie you want to go and see. This is, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
I'm just thrilled to be a part of it.
We're chatting with Brendan Cowell. And, mate, congratulations on everything that's ahead of you and what you've done already, Spud.
Yeah, Brendan, just your storytelling is there, mate. I think it's like as a kid, you want to play rugby league. Mm. And I think with yourself, it's like you've been sitting on the bench waiting for your opportunity. When you get the opportunity, you've got to strike. Is that how it is, mate? Because you've only got one chance, haven't you,
yeah,
for the big time?
Absolutely. A lot of people, you know, when I speak in, you know, at acting colleges or to young artists want to have a coffee with me, and they're like, how do you make it and stuff? And I was like, well, I think everybody has their own story. And you got to keep doing what you do. Don't try and do what others do. Just keep doing what you do. Hone your craft. Everyone gets a shot in this game. Everybody gets a shot. You know, everybody gets the ball thrown to them with 10 seconds to go. You know what I mean? And it's the same with acting. You'll get your go. And when you get your go, take it and be authentic. You know, because nobody does what I do, and I don't do what any other bloke does. Yeah. So you just got to stay true to what you're good at and keep going. And, you know, it all bubbles away. You know, it bubbles away, then you finally get a shot.
Yeah, it's amazing. I look at sport like that, Brendan, that it just filters right through. Whatever work you want to do, where you want to get to in life, it's all about, you know, opportunity. But if you're given an opportunity, don't waste it. And it sounds like you have it, mate.
No, have a crack. Absolutely. You know, don't die wondering, and be true to yourself. You know, rip in, but be authentic. Be you.
Okay. I tell you what, it was Dr. Zeus's birthday. He's deceased these days, but it was his birthday the other day, Brendan, and he used to say this, today you are you, that is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you, and that's basically what you're saying.
Mate, and, you know, my book Plum is about mixing rugby league and poetry, and you've just done it right there, Joel. So well done. That's beautiful.
Thank you very much, Brendan. Well, I've got four kids who can read your book. So, mate, I appreciate your time today. I know you're a busy man, and you're such a successful man too. As Australians, we're very proud of you, mate, and we wish you all the best in the future.
Thanks heaps, Joel. Yeah, no, any time for old Spud Carroll, mate. One of the best blokes going around. So thanks for having me.
Brendan, make sure next Wednesday you bring someone who can keep up, please.
Yeah. I'll be wearing the Shark shorts. I'll be out the front. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. Good day.